Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Active Radio KHII 88.9 FM Podcast. We really appreciate you joining us today. My name is John Hurt, and we're going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our community. By sharing knowledge through our conversations, we will try to impart some information you may need about what is happening in the Tularosa Basin and across southern New Mexico. So let's get to the interviews.
And good morning. It is 6:36. I'm Mike Dover with you, and down in Orlando, Florida, where it's 76 degrees. I'm not sure where he is, but I'll say good morning to Chris Orwell. Good morning, Chris.
Yeah, I'm a little further away from Orlando. I'm actually down in Miami.
Oh, maybe a little bit warmer than 76 degrees then.
It's actually very beautiful down here this morning. So it is in the low 70s and breezy, and it's everything that you'd expect Florida to be when Florida is really nice.
There you go. That sounds good and stuff. Now, I've got to ask you, I know you're down there seeing grandkids, but by any chance, did anybody shoot anything into space that you could see while you're down there?
Nothing that we could see, but yes, they did shoot stuff into space while we've been down here. I think that, you know, that question is almost moot these days with SpaceX, considering the frequency that they're launching rockets. You know, I mean, they're trying to get to that point where they're doing 100 launches per year. They almost made it last year, and this year between California and Florida, they're gonna make it, especially with the Starship, you know, now starting to launch from Texas as well.
Oh wow! I tell you what, we don't need NASA no more. We got SpaceX.
Yeah, well, you know, and interestingly enough, it's funny that you say that, and the way that you say it, because a lot of people have a slight misconception even with NASA and SpaceX and Blue Origin and some of these other companies like SpaceX. Many of the launches that they have done and that they still continue to do are ones that NASA has contracted them to do. NASA has, to their credit, you know, they've had some difficulties with deep space exploration and the pure NASA programs and some delays there. But they've gone to a model where they're starting to contract out, you know, and go to contractors and say, we'll give you X amount of dollars and you produce this, whether it's a rocket, whether it's a launch, whether it's ferrying astronauts or cargo to space, you know, whatever that may be. And the companies then are utilizing the rockets to do that. And so, you know, like the one of the things that there was a meeting that a couple of my friends that wrote the book Marketing the Moon, that they were having with the NASA leadership, and NASA leadership had invited them in to talk about marketing. And so they were speaking with him. Well, one of the guys had brought his teenage, soon to be college student son with him as well. And while they were having that meeting, at the end of it, the director of NASA asked his son, he said, you know, well, what do you think about all these discussions about SpaceX and Blue Origin and NASA and everything we're doing? And the son said, I don't really know what NASA's doing. I know what SpaceX is doing because they market directly to me. Yeah. And so I don't know that I didn't know until today that the rockets that they're launching were paid for by NASA. And the director was like, that's exactly it. I want the NASA logo on the side of the SpaceX rocket from now. You know, it was just one of those interesting things that, you know, NASA realized, hey, we got to start making sure that everybody understands we're paying for some of this as well. Not everything SpaceX is doing, because trust me, they're doing a ton of stuff on their own as well. Mm-hmm. But much of what they're doing with the Starship is for getting to the moon. And so it's essentially NASA money. So.
Oh, boy, I tell you what, well, NASA better keep their foot in the door, you know, so, but I guess my next question is this, when are we going to build, as I would say as a Star Trek fan, a real starship with the saucer section and everything?
That's not coming for a while.
I bet not.
Because you got to build those in space, you know, so yeah. something that looks that awkward has to be built in space. Now, that being said, you know, there's another one where you say that, like looking for a, you know, with a saucer section, but the, still there?
Yeah, still here.
Okay. Yep, sorry about that. I was getting a bit of an echo there. So, in any case, but we did build a true spaceship, one that was only designed to go in space, and that was the Lunar Lander. That, you know, there was no intention of that thing operating at all in Earth's atmosphere. And so it was able to be built shall we say, completely odd. You know, it looked very, very, very different from anything that we were used to with rockets, with capsules and things like that, that had to have some aerodynamic aspect to them. And then all of a sudden you had this spider-looking odd toaster with legs, you know, that we flew out in space. And so, yeah, that really was our first true starship.
Wow, I like that, a toaster with legs.
I'd like to take credit for that, but that was the Apollo astronauts who said that.
Oh, really? Okay, well, yep, that's the first time I ever heard that one. So
back in the Apollo 9 era.
I'll be doggone. How about that? So, but anyway, well, Chris, I know you're down in Florida. Are you having a good time with the grandkids?
Yes, actually, yeah. So, and that it just for anybody who's listening, that's the reason that we're actually down here is our son and daughter-in-law had their first grandchild, and so and Ooh. Our first grand or their first child, our first grandchild. So yeah, we're down here visiting with them, and then we're going to go up to Virginia and visit our son who's in the Navy, who's getting ready to deploy overseas.
So, all right. Yep. So now this the grandson, how old is this grandson now?
He is less than a month. He is just a few weeks old.
So, okay, yeah. So you're not picking him up and throwing him up in the air and going, wee, yet?
No. No, not at all. Picking him up, yes. Throwing him in the air, no. We're just excited.
Yeah, just wait a year or two for that one. So, but anyway, that sounds great. Well, I know you're down there, but you've got your finger on the pulse of what's going on with the New Mexico Museum of Space History. So any changes, anything new coming up there?
Yes. And yeah, it's kind of funny that you say got my pulse. I'm actually doing work today, which is really kind of sad. we're doing interviews for an open position at the museum kind of thing. So, and we just had another staff member start there, another new educator. Her name's Maquette Clark. And so she's going to be taking over our astronomy programs. And so, yeah, we've always got the, let me just start there, you know, astronomy world. We had a great time with the eclipse, even though we weren't in the direct path of the total eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
We still had a partial eclipse here in Alamogordo, and it made it up to 83.4% covered. And so we, you know, up at the museum, we were handing out the free eclipse glasses. We had the local astronomy league and our staff set up with scopes in the parking lot and up at the observatory complex to be able to look up at the sun. And then we even had a scope set up with a filter that was hooked up to a TV, so a group of people could kind of gather around and look at the TV and see the eclipse going on and see the prominences coming off of the sun, and, mm-hmm. and a lot of people really, really enjoyed that. We also even had a group up, a fairly good-sized group of 19 students and then helpers along with them, so a group up of over 35 people from the New Mexico School for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and we've been working with the teachers over there. And we actually had set up chairs for them in the parking lot and an audio device that was provided by the Smithsonian Harvard School of Astrophysics. And it actually provided a tonal frequency that would change depending on the amount of light coming from the sun. It worked really well through the whole first part of the eclipse as the tones kept changing as more and more of the sun was getting covered up. Then sadly we had that cloud cover come over just as we were headed towards the peak, and so we were getting cloud light, and so the frequency was going up and down quite a bit. So, but yeah, they had a really, really great time, and so we had over 600 people that came up as well.
Wow.
Which really surprised me. You know, which really surprised me because we weren't in the path of totality. It was a partial eclipse. But, you know, people like to come up, spend time together, enjoy. You know, hey, a free admission into the museum is always a winner. So, yeah. So they all had a good time with that one. So, and then we did open up the new exhibit, obviously, for satellites. And so that is open, and now we are working right now on exhibits for the elevator lobby area that's about the white room where they prepared the astronauts and got them ready to get into the spaceships, and still do today when, you know, they're getting into SpaceX craft, et cetera.
Right.
So when we tell the stories of of Gunter Vent and some of the crew out there, and we've got it all decorated up now. So we're working on that, the final graphics for that right now. And additionally, also working on the just approved the write-ups for the new the Legos portion of the Legos and Lunchboxes exhibit that's going to go on the second floor. So that should open up about mid to late May. We were hoping to have it open up by the 8th, but we typical of thing, no plan survives contact with the enemy, and so it's going to get delayed a couple of weeks. But we're in the final phases of reviewing the graphics for that one right now, and we're in the process of doing all the writing for the new revision to the Rockets, Missiles, and Motors gallery. So that is in progress. Have done parts of the write-ups for that one, and we just got the purchase order done to do the designs for the new fifth floor galleries and the new Tombaugh gallery. So, I mean, design, we have a ton of design in progress right now, and we've got two new exhibits that will open up in May with the White Room and the Legos and Lunchboxes. So, yeah, a couple of things happening. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, that Lunchbox thing, that's one I want to go see because, man, there was all kinds of Lunchboxes even when I was a kid, like Flash Gordon and a few other ones like that, so... That'd be pretty cool to see. Even Star Trek, I think.
Oh, yeah, we're excited about that.
Yeah, that'll be a great one. So, well, Chris, I tell you that, you know, you got so much going on up there. Let's talk about Launchpad Lecture. You got one coming up in May.
Yep. So, and interestingly enough, we are actually looking at changing that one right now. So, because it was going to be about SpaceX, but we're actually looking because we just got a some training and a lecture from the folks with the Tularosa Basin archaeological group, and then we went out on a tour of a site that is just outside Tularosa. It's a great kiva that's located out there where they had alongside the creek that runs along the highway there. There, you know, a little bit further away from it, there is an archaeological site where there are old canals and houses that were set up out there. And we're talking here stuff that is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old, dating back quite a way. And, you know, it's quote unquote prehistoric. And the one of the sites, a great kiva out there, has got where it is and where they've dug. It actually looks towards and can be utilized to site eight of the different places where it's either the different ways that you can view the sun and the moon as they're either at their peak as of travel or during the solstices, et cetera. And so we're actually looking to change that lecture over to that if we can and have somebody from the society come in and lecture on that. And we're, once again, a lot of this has to do with the possibility that maybe someday that becomes another location on the space trail for the state of New Mexico. And so we're working on that right now. And so it's kind of a neat thing that we're looking to jam in here because we found it really, really exciting. They came and lectured our staff on it, and we got excited about it. And now we're going to try and get everybody else excited about it as well.
Yeah.
So as always, it's going to be, we're going to have a lecture on the first Friday there in May the 3rd at 9 a.m. But we're thinking about changing it right now. So and literally those discussions are being had today. So
wow, that's a great kiva over by Tularosa.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a whole series of them that were out there as part of that community. Yeah. So
never knew that.
But this is a pretty large one. There is one that's larger, but this one was very specifically built to be able to take advantage of its location, the mountains in the area, and specific spots on the mountains that could be spotted straight from the kiva, and they all provided landmarks. So it's really fascinating.
Boy, I guess, man, I never knew there was a great kiva over there. So, learn something new every day, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah, and that's part of what we're going to try and get everybody excited about as well.
Well, I tell you what, that sounds great. Now, I know you've got somebody new coming in with the Astronomy League, and we got any astronomy full moon what do you call those things?
The star party?
Yeah, thank you, star parties.
Yep, so we do. So what we've got is on May 9th, we'll have our monthly Astronomy League meeting. That will be at 7 o'clock up at the Tombaugh Theater Building, as always. Great time to come and hear about, you know, what's going on in the night sky, to learn a little bit about astronomy, and, you know, to take part in helping out with the league and what the league provides as far as teaching and learning, training. And then also just experience opportunities as well, which on May 11th, a couple of days later that evening, time yet to be determined for that one. The Astronomy League hasn't put that out yet, along with our staff. There will be a star party that evening. So, and on our website and on our Facebook and et cetera, that will get put out here very soon as far as what the time is. But that evening on the 11th, we will have a star party as well, which, you know, they're trying to do that every month and looking at different things in the night sky every single month, you know. So it depends on, you know, what's available, what's up, and what they can see, and always weather depending.
Well, yeah, always. So you know, it's like we never get clouds here, so.
Yeah, no, that never happens. Not during an eclipse.
Yeah, so. Never, yeah, and it happens. So, but anyway, well, I'll tell you what, a lot of things going on. What are the hours at the museum?
So we are open up every day except for Tuesday. And so Sunday we're open up 12 to 5. Every other day we're open up 10 to 5.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. And people can always find out more by going to the website, which is?
nmspacemuseum.org. They can go to our Facebook site. They can go to our YouTube channel and watch videos that our educators have done. And as always, they can always call up at 437-2840 if they want to ask questions.
There you go. That sounds great. I tell you what, just so much stuff coming up. Now, Chris, now we are coming down in the middle of April. We're coming into May. Space Academy, anything going on with that? Or what did you guys call that? I forgot. It's not space.
Right now, because of some of the same issues that we've had in the past, we are not doing a full-blown Rocketeer Academy this summer. But that being said, we are going to be, and it's actually being worked through the schools, and so the marketing for this is already going through the schools. We're going to be doing at least 1 week of a camp program that we're doing in conjunction with New Mexico State University.
Okay.
and Alamogordo, and that's going to be done in the first part of the summer. We may add another one later, depending on the turnout that we get from it. But we're marketing it directly through the local schools, and NMSUA has already sent professor and staff out there to the schools to start talking about it. So that's what's going on for that one. But right now, for some of the same reasons that we've got with the some of the legal and risk management division issues, mm-hmm. we're still not doing the public camps yet.
All right, that sounds good and stuff. Well, Chris, one other thing. Just recently, in April, the Trinity Site Tour was canceled and stuff. So,
yep.
So we're looking forward to maybe October we can get another one squeezed in.
Yeah, well, right now they don't have any plans that they've told us about, you know, to cancel anything for the October Trinity Site Tour. Bookings for our tour, I think, are getting close to being filled up.
Wow.
For the October tour, and we've actually already got a number booked for April, even though we don't know if they're going to go back to two tours per year. A lot of that has to do with budget issues for White Sands Missile Range. So,
right.
But yeah, we'll see what they allow, and we'll do the tours if they're open. That's the key thing, you know. So, and right now they're still planning on doing October. So right now we're still planning on doing a bus tour.
There you go. Well, White Sands Missile Range was almost the birthplace for a space program. Maybe we need to take some of that money from NASA that given to SpaceX, give us the White Sands, so we can have Trinity Site tours. What do you think of that?
I don't think that would be good for NASA, you know. So they need all the money they can get, and White Sands Missile Range. Yeah, they need all the money they can get. But you know, government is government, and got to make the cuts when you got to make the cuts.
There you go. That sounds like it and stuff. So, well, folks, check out the New Mexico Museum of Space History. If you haven't been there for a year, you are missing some really cool new stuff up there. And so check it out. Chris, have yourself a great time down there in Florida. And again, like I said, don't throw that baby up in the air. He's not old enough yet.
No, not going to. And thanks for having me on. Even from this great distance, this is probably the furthest distance that we've talked for one of these. It's great as always to be on. And I look forward to talking again next month and talking about the new exhibit.
Yeah, we look forward to that as well. Chris, have yourself a good one, my friend. And off to, I think you said Virginia, and then you'll be coming back home.
Sounds good.
All right. Have a good one, buddy.
And thank you much. Good talking with you.
You too. Chris Orwell with the New Mexico Museum of Space History.
We are Active Radio, 88.9 FM, KHII Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM, Alamogordo, and 102.3 KEDU, Ruidoso.